Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 61, and this morning we'll be especially focusing on the first three verses of that text. I've got to be honest with you, every time that this text from Isaiah 61 comes up, be it in the lectionary or as a suggestion for a special service, every time this text comes up, I circle it. I actually preached my very first sermon ever on this particular text, which unfortunately that sermon probably still exists on the internet somewhere. I would not recommend going to look it up. Just a fair point. But you may recall back in May from my ordination service that you might have had the chance to participate in the live stream of. You might recall, if you watched that service, that Isaiah 61 was the Old Testament lesson that I selected for that day. There's something about this text from Isaiah 61 that it's captivated me ever since the first time that I read this text closely. And I can tell you exactly what it is that captivates me about this text. It's that little line right in the middle of verse 2 that says, "The day of vengeance of our God." That line, it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb in the middle of an otherwise beautiful and comforting passage, doesn't it? Yet, my contention to you this morning is that, as strange as it may sound, it is in these words, "the day of vengeance of our God," that the Lord reveals to us the essence of the gospel. I'll show you what I mean in a second, but first let me reread the first three verses of our text for us. The prophet writes, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garments of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may glorify." So what's going on here? Well, if we take the prophet seriously, and we pay close attention to his words, we see right at the beginning of the reading that he writes of God's anointed one, one who has received the Holy Spirit. And by the way, anointed one in Hebrew is Messiah. And so this Messiah, Isaiah tells us, has come, quote, "to bring good news to the poor." So if we take this line seriously, that this Messiah has come to bring good news to the poor, then it follows that everything that happens in succession after this line is inherently good news. It's a gospel message. And we can see that pretty clearly in just about all of the statements. Statements like comforting those who mourn, proclaiming liberty to the captives, binding up the brokenhearted, making them like oaks of righteousness. We can see quite clearly that these statements are inherently very good news. But the question then is, what do we do with those lines that this anointed one has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God? How is that good news? Well, Dr. Reed Lessing, in his commentary on Isaiah, suggests that we understand this year of grace and day of vengeance not as two separate events, but Dr. Lessing suggests rather that we should understand these things as two separate outcomes of the same event. In other words, when this event comes, it will bring both the year of favor and the day of vengeance, depending on who you are. And so some people will experience the year of favor, others will experience the day of vengeance. So what makes these two groups of people different? Well, nothing, at least not inherently. Both groups are people, human beings. And human beings, by nature, are sinful. And so all humans, including you and I, inherently deserve the day of vengeance, not the year of favor. But yet there is a difference between these two groups. So what is it? Well, you probably know the answer. It is that one group has put their trust in Jesus, while the other hasn't. And so for you and I, for those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, everything is different, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done for us. So on that fateful Friday, nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered the day of vengeance of our God, so that the year of the Lord's favor might be yours. Or, to put it a little differently, as Jesus hung on that cross on Golgotha, he drank to the dregs the cup of divine wrath, taking upon himself the sin of the whole world, so that the cup of blessing bought with his blood might be given to you and to me. This is the essence of the gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered the day of vengeance so that the year of favor might be yours. Reverend Francis Rossau, who was a well-known homiletics or preaching professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis many years ago, he was famous in his preaching classes for uttering this phrase: the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than the death and resurrection of Jesus, but never less. What did Rev. Rossau mean by that statement? Well, he meant this, that the gospel is never less than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in that the gospel message inherently is founded on the historical event that Jesus suffered and died on the cross and he rose again. You cannot take that historical event out of the gospel message. It is at its core. But the gospel message is more than the death and resurrection of Jesus, in that the gospel is not just some nice historical event that happened many years ago. It's a message that is world-altering and life-changing and has impacts in our world today. Its benefits come to us in many ways, but at its core, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a world-altering, life-changing reality. And so, my question to you this morning is, how has the gospel of Jesus Christ changed your life? Or has it? Does this good news that Jesus suffered the day of vengeance so that the year of favor might be yours, does that message change the way that you live? Or is it just a nice side benefit, an eternal insurance policy, so to speak, that has no bearing on your everyday life? The gospel of Jesus Christ is more than the death and resurrection of Jesus, but nevertheless, the gospel is more than a historical event. Jesus died to change your life in the here and now, not only your eternal destiny. My friends, I love you enough to want you to experience in your life the blessings that this world-altering, life-changing event brings to our lives in the here and now. See, the fact that Jesus suffered the day of vengeance so that the year of favor might be ours, it has incredible implications for your life, but not just for your life. It has incredible implications for the lives of every single person that you come into contact with, because this message is for everyone. See, when you and I begin to see the gospel in this way, when we begin to think of it in this way, it changes everything. It changes the way that we think. It changes the way that we act, the way that we spend our time, the way that we spend our money. It literally changes everything. Yes, you and I fail to love God's gospel gifts above all things. Yes, we fail to allow this gospel of Jesus Christ to completely transform our lives. My friends, Jesus Christ died on the cross to bring you his gospel forgiveness. And in fact, Jesus comes to you today in this meal to offer you the cup of blessing for your forgiveness, life, and salvation. And this morning, by the power of his Holy Spirit, Jesus invites you to treasure the gifts of the gospel in your life and to allow his Spirit to work within you to transform your life by the power of his gospel for your good and for his glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.